Welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast with Matthew Sardo.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
Holy sh! They're actually monkeys fighting robots!
You can follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots and on Instagram at monkeys fighting robots. Make sure to download and review our podcast from iTunes and Stitcher. And now, here's your host, Matt.
Welcome to the 123rd episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots. Today's show is all about the ladies. Since we are 1 week away from Wonder Woman, EJ and I are talking about female action heroes. I'm your host, Matthew Sardo. I'm also the co-founder of MonkeysFightingRobots.com. Joining me in the banter is my co-host, movie critic, EJ Marino.
I'm so excited for this episode. I love talking about female-led movies. Wonder Woman is just around the corner. I'm so excited. So if you guys happen to enjoy this podcast, don't forget to subscribe. You guys can find us on Blog Talk Radio. That is our home. Give us some comments. Give us some feedbacks. I think we're on iTunes still, Stitcher. We're on all the apps. Find us.
We're 1 week away from Wonder Woman. I'm pretty excited about this. It has everything that I need in a film. It has a superhero, has Chris Pine. We're fighting Nazis. I mean, like, that's what we got. It's an adventure.
I'm so excited for this. Other than me just being a big fan of this DC universe that's been established, this is Wonder Woman. Like, it could have been with any universe, any brand, any director. This is a Wonder Woman movie. How can you just not be, like, excited? It's just, there's something in the air about her film.
What we did is I put messages out on social media, on, like, Facebook and Twitter and a few different groups on Facebook, like the Action Movies group and our Film Club group. And I asked people, what is their favorite female-led action movie? And the conversation was really intense about all these different things. It was Aliens and Terminator 2. Those were the, everybody was super excited about that. But then things kind of stepped away a little bit more. And it's a bigger conversation than just female-led action film, because what does that really mean?
It is very, you break that down. What does it mean to be an action film? What does it mean to be female-led? Now, can there be a male character? You know, it's a crazy big topic, and I like that we're diving into it because there is so much to break down from the females who star in this films. Like, can female-led movies do really well financially? And what are some of the best ones? I think this is a really cool topic to talk about.
And so let's kind of just talk about the genre first before we start, like, rattling off, I don't know, our best and worst or whatever. I really don't think there's enough for there to be, like, a worst section. I mean, I think Sucker Punch probably could just be the worst.
And Sucker Punch is the top of one of my favorites. It's not just because I'm a Snyder fan. That movie is such an awesome, badass female story. Love that film. But yeah, let's talk about the genre before I have to once again defend another damn Zack Snyder movie from you.
I see it on top of your list, and I just had to poke the EJ Bear. Jamie Lee Curtis. She's like the founder of the survivalist horror genre action film kind of thing with all the Halloween films. And you mentioned some people from Nightmare on Elm Street and some other horror films.
Well, there's tons of them. There's Neve Campbell. There's Heather Langenkamp from Nightmare on Elm Street. Also, the Friday the 13th franchise had a new girl each movie. And I think it's really interesting that, like, are they the kind of the pioneers for the Sigourney Weaver in Alien? Like, I'm pretty sure the timing of both those movies are very similar. But it's very interesting of where does it start at and how early do we get badass females in movies?
And that's what I'm trying to figure out, because, like, then you have, like, a film like The Fifth Element, and is that a female-led action drama, or is Bruce Willis the lead?
I think Bruce Willis was intended to be the lead, but I don't think anyone expected that to be the movie that launched Mila Jovovich into, honestly, I think she would be on both of our list of badass females, because she's made her career in action and action alone. So yeah, it's interesting. And I think what this has to have is just a girl who's kicking ass and some good elements, because action is so big itself. Like, I prefer martial arts action movies before I prefer more gun-based weapon action movies. And that's, you know, that goes into the, you know, how big is action films.
And that's where it gets crazy, because, like, with a Resident Evil type film, she's taking on giant monsters and she's punching them or shooting them, but she's in hand-to-hand form combat with this stuff. And then with the martial arts, I don't have a lot of people that come to mind as female-led martial arts films. I know they're out there. I know there's some. I remember China O'Brien growing up, and she was badass, but like, she was in the B and C video store category of martial arts. But then I'm trying to think of the film Marco Polo, the TV show on Netflix.
There's some, with Michelle Yeoh.
There's some badass female.
Michelle Yeoh, who's she you know, she's in that show. She was just in Guardians of the Galaxy as a quick little cameo, and she's an awesome like chick within the industry. But yeah, there's a couple hand to hand. Maggie Q, who was in one of the Mission Impossibles, the one with Timothy Oliphant. Can't think. Three, and she was in Nikita, that was on the CW. She's a really good hand-to-hand artist, and I think there's a couple. Michelle Rodriguez, I think she's shown that with her first film Girl Fight, and you know, she's kind of dipped in and out, but
she's got a slow right hook. She's gonna get taken. I mean, like,
well, you saw that when she fought Ronda Rousey in that one Fast and Furious movie, and I was just like, why did we do this to Michelle Rodriguez? Like, we made her look so bad next to Ronda, which, you know, that's a topic I would like to talk about, is girls like Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey, which I wanted to be great, because if Gina Carano was good in Expendables, she would have been Wonder Woman. She is perfect, like, visually for Wonder Woman. She just is such a bad actress, and that's a big thing you talked about, is a lot of them are B actresses.
And it's that combination of, like, Sigourney Weaver is an A-lister when it comes to acting. And then she did some badass shit in Aliens and in Alien and Furthermore.
God, even in Alien, like, Resurrection, when she throws, like, the basketball behind herself and they do that in a one live take and she does, like, a no-look, like, shot. Like, Sigourney Weaver is the definition of these females. And I don't want to lead the whole conversation just around her, but... she, like, more than Jamie Lee Curtis that we mentioned, she really is the definitive woman in I think action movie hearts.
And then there's a few people I feel like there is a whole set of female actresses that had like one or two shots at action films and then they just never did another one. And that's where one of my favorite films, A Long Kiss Goodnight, comes up, because you had Gina Davis in that, and that's the Bourne Identity way before the Bourne Identity came out. She did that Pirates movie, I think, afterwards, one of those big flops.
Well, she also even did Thelma and Louise, which I was telling you, you know, does that constitute as an action film? There's definitely action elements. And yeah, Gina Davis is one that I really wish she would have done what now Scarlett Johansson and Charlize Theron's doing. And she seems like she would have been badass in action movies. I haven't seen A Long Kiss Goodnight, but it is on my list now, because once I saw the picture of her like holding a baby and shooting a gun, and I'm like, yep, that is the badass action movies I want to see my girls in.
Cutthroat Island is what she did before. That was that big, huge flop with Matthew Modine and Gina Davis, and I saw it in the theaters. I'm not sure if I saw it in the theaters, and that could be why it was a big flop, but it was this massive movie. I'm trying to think of anybody else big in there. No, there's nobody else big names in it, but female pirate and her companion race against their rivals to find a hidden island that contains a fabulous treasure. Fabulous treasure.
That word, fabulous, that was such a guy wrote that. That's a condescending guy line.
But Gina Davis had two action, you know, she had a few more than a few action movies, but she had two back-to-backers, but Long Kiss Tonight, Shane Black, written by Shane Black. It's a good film. You need to watch it. And I need to, like, you know, your reaction after you watch it.
Yeah, I'm so intrigued by that film. I keep seeing it now, like, when I was doing research for this list. And I'm like, yeah, that's spotted out. But I have a girl, like, I like on this side of, like, a Gina Davis, who really didn't dive into action as much. But Uma Thurman, her work in Kill Bill Volume 1 and 2, and I know a lot of it goes to Zoe Bell, who's someone I want to credit as well, the stunt woman who also ended up doing her own work. But Uma Thurman did great in Kill Bill, and I think she was almost there with a Sigourney Weaver and a Linda Hamilton. If she would have kept up, like, her work in action is fantastic.
And she was in Batman and Robin. She's Poison Ivy.
my favorite part of that movie is, like, as a little gay boy, seeing Poison Ivy, that was my first drag queen, I think. Like, before Divine or RuPaul, Poison Ivy in that movie is such a drag queen. And, God, that, yeah, but, like, I think of those Batman movies as well really did push females really nicely. You know, even going back to Catwoman in Batman Returns, she was so awesome in that film. And, yeah, but Michelle Pfeiffer, another kind of one-off action chick that she would have done really well.
And she did a few other, she was in, where did it go on me? Where is she? Oh, The Avengers, like the British film, or British TV series, The Avengers. So she did some badass stuff, and she was made Aunt Marion in a Robin Hood film. I mean, like, the 90s were good to Uma Thurman. And
because even Pulp Fiction, like, she's not in the action scenes of Pulp Fiction, but she's a main character, and that is an action movie.
In Gattaca, that sci-fi amazingness. So good, so good. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, and she was My Super Ex-Girlfriend, where she plays another superhero, but she's the crazy ex-girlfriend.
I completely forgot about that. What is that, 2007 probably? That seems like a 2007 movie.
06, my friend.
06. Damn. Oh, see. I just have a pat on the back for, like, my shitty mid-2000 years. But, yeah, I love Uma Thurman. And I she's someone, like, I mentioned before, like a Scarlett Johansson or Charlize Theron that have kind of started making action films their niche.
And then, like, Kate Beckinsale, she kind of just stuck with the Underworld franchise.
Or was she stuck with the Underworld franchise? Is that the Kate Beckinsale problem? Because I think she may have popped into another action film, like maybe like a quick role. But I like her as well. She's like another Mila Jovovich. But once again, Mila is competition for those girls for a while. And I love her work. And she's kind of one of my number one favorites girls and like in the action world.
Okay. Kate Beckinsale has definitely had enough. That's the thing is like, what makes you an action star? How many films is it? Or is it one awesome film?
One awesome film can do it, but I would say at least two or three. Like, Angelina Jolie is that limit of, like, she did enough action movies to be considered a female action star.
Because Kate Beckinsale, she did Underworld. She did all the Underworlds. She did Pearl Harbor.
She was like Nurse Betty, basically, in that. That doesn't count.
Okay, it was Nurse Lieutenant Evelyn Johnson.
I'm not giving Michael Bay credit for writing females well, so no. Like, that one's null and void.
She took Sharon Stone's role in Total Recall.
That was the one. That was the one I was trying to remember other than Underworld, where I was like, well, she was like a main, like, kind of ass kicker in that.
And there was the film Whiteout, where she's a U.S. Marshal and she tracks a killer in Antarctica.
I've never heard of that film, but wow, The Whiteout in Antarctica, clever. That's a straight to Redbox movie there.
I think it's based on a comic book. I want to say it's based on a comic book. And anything else, Kate Beckinsale coming up? I don't know. Oh, but then we bring up Sharon Stone. Like, she had the Total Recall role. I'm trying to think.
Well, her turn in Catwoman was fantastic.
Sharon Stone.
Yes. Wasn't she the villain in Catwoman?
Oh.
I was trying to make a joke about me liking Catwoman.
Thought she was in Catwoman. I thought she was Catwoman. And I was like,
no, she is whatever villain was in Catwoman. The made up villain in that film.
Like, no, because, okay, so she did, because Sharon Stone did Total Recall. She did The Quick and the Dead, chick, okay. Western, Casino, which somebody, you know, you got to do a lot of coke. I guess, does that make you an action hero? You do a lot of coke?
Michelle Pfeiffer did a lot of coke in Scarface, and that was an action movie.
Well, that's where I wanted to go to next. Is like, wait, there's a Basic Instinct 2?
There is. It's not good. Don't watch it. But Basic Instinct 1 is a flawless film.
Catwoman, Laurel Heder? Heder? I don't know what her last name was. I'm trying to figure out, like, what if it had any meaning, her last name.
Nope. She was the Catwoman in that movie was named Constance Jones or something. Like, that was that abomination, but it's so fun to laugh at that one.
Constance Jones.
Like, she wasn't even Selena Kyle in that movie. Like, that's why that failed. Other than Halle Berry.
She played herself in the last Action Hero. Sharon Stone did.
I did not know that, actually. Wow.
Last Action Hero. That's gotta be an underrated. Oh, she had an episode in T.J. Hooker.
I don't know if that's what I want to like name as her big action turn, really. Come on. TJ Hooker, isn't that Farrah Fawcett's project?
She was in Remington Steele.
If I get a dog, that's my name. I'm naming my dog. I want a pug, and I want to name him Remington Steele.
Nice. So I feel like we're drifting to the outliners of female action heroes when we get into like a Michelle Pfeiffer. But Michelle Pfeiffer, she influenced this genre a lot, though, didn't she?
Like, I really think Michelle Pfeiffer, if there was no Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, there would be no Black Widow right now. I think Michelle Pfeiffer kicked open the door. Like, I love what Linda Carter did in Wonder Woman, but something about Michelle Pfeiffer in superhero films, she really opened the whole door in a different direction. Like, we will always have, like, a cool, like, a Ripley, but female superheroes, it's Michelle Pfeiffer is the first one I think of.
I remember going to see Batman Returns, and then I was already attracted to Michelle Pfeiffer. And then after Batman Returns, I totally knew what Michael Keaton was going through when he took his mask off to talk to Michelle Pfeiffer.
And Michelle Pfeiffer in that movie is one of my favorite cases where they try to make her look ugly in the beginning, but I'm like, she's still hot. Like, I don't try. You don't do that to Michelle Pfeiffer. But I definitely think, like, I keep mentioning her, but I love Scarlett Johansson's work in action films, and I'm surprised she didn't get stuck in romantic comedies. Because that's where I was just like, oh, that's going to be her niche. And no, after Black Widow, and I love Lucy. I think Lucy's an amazing film. But I think she could have – she really is kind of on that forefront. If one more action film, Scarlett Johansson could have been there. I'm not going to count Ghost of the Shell. That will just be a sore spot on her resume.
I think I'm going to be a defender of Ghost in the Shell. I think that's a movie I'm going to defend later on. You know, because I saw it and I was like – it's had everything I wanted an anime film to do. And then if you looked at the evil corporation stuffing a dead Asian girl into a white person's body, I don't know if they meant to do it on purpose, but I'm like, okay, this makes sense to me. Evil U.S. corporation stuffing an Asian woman's brain into what they think the world should look, female should look like. That made sense to me.
It is a powerful theme. It was just explored with Get Out earlier this year, and I think kind of Get Out was the more fun version of that. And Ghost in the Shell, it's just going to be one of those things where, like, it's an Aeon Flux, or, like, it's a cool movie. I just don't think it's going to – I don't think it's going to be as important as it should have been. I think the movie should have been better. It's not horrible. Like, it could have been better, and I think that's the disappointment. But honestly, if we go through most of these female action movies, that's a constant theme of, like –
disappointment? Well,
I think, like, especially comparing them to some of the money-wise that the male counterparts are making, or some of the creativity that some of these female-led movies get. I don't think, you know, Tarantino basically kept female-led action movies alive with Kill Bill and even Death Proof, Jackie Brown in the 90s, you know, reviving Pam Grier's career after her female action movies in the 70s. Like, it's cool, but we don't really get those a lot. And there's sometimes – these female-led movies are just kind of a good excuse for TNA, and it's not just Zack Snyder doing that.
And then you got to give James Cameron credit, because the two films battling for the top spot, Aliens and T2, are his work.
Absolutely. Like, I don't often give James Cameron credit. Maybe he's just one of those Michael Bay kind of people that I refuse to, like, appreciate. But what he did for female-led films, even what he did in Titanic with making Rose the main character, and what he did on a love, you know, romance, drama aspect, James Cameron knows females surprisingly better than – he reminds me a lot of Joss Whedon, where, like, I look at you and I'm like, you're not going to write females well. And, you know, James Cameron does. And like you said, he has the two top spots. No one's, like, taking him. And this sounds a lot like the box office as well.
Aw. There were surprise movies like Mad Max Fury Road, which had Charlize Theron, which you just mentioned with Aeon Flux. Like, she is, and then she has a movie coming out later on this year that looks amazing.
Atomic Blonde is, it looks like a female John Wick, and not to compare something to, you know, but that's the first thing I was like, this looks like what we got with the first John Wick, but with Charlize. Like, she's kind of found herself, even when she wasn't being action and fighting in Furious 7, I liked her role in that, and I think she can play a good kind of henchwoman, like, boss lady, and I like that. I think she has layers to what she can do in action, and she's one that I want to see more of, especially after Fury Road, which is a fantastic piece.
And then where do like animation films sit in this whole conversation?
You know, we just were talking about Ghost in the Shell, and that's one of the most amazing female-led animated films, one of the most awesome female-led films in general. And then you have Akira, and then you have, you know, some even the Disney movies, like I think Mulan and Brave are awesome action films. Like, yes, they're animated. Or look at Fiona in Shrek, the first film. Like, she kicked ass in that movie. And so, yeah, there's a place for females in action films in animation as well.
Well, the animation genre has been evolving at a rapid pace. I think it's evolving way quicker than the live action counterpart.
I agree with you with that. And it's interesting that animation is pushing the boundaries, like I said, even as early as Shrek. And I appreciate that. And I think animation is where it's at if we want some strong females. Even, I don't love her, but Elsa kicked ass and took over the Disney marketing for looks like forever now.
I know, I'm really upset. I had Belle and I had the Little Mermaid. Those are my two mainstays, and then that Frozen bullshit takes over everything. It's everywhere, man.
You know, and what sucks is because I think, like I mentioned before, Mulan, she saved China. Like, she is the legit action hero of the Disney franchise. I don't think a male has done on the level of what Mulan did in that franchise, like in any of the Disney movies. And then you go down to, like I said, Brave with Merida. She's the coolest archer, even next to Hawkeye in the Disney franchise. Like, I love seeing that. And then even with Moana, not too actiony, but she kicked ass and I liked it. And I think Disney is always on the forefront, usually with movies, and looks like they're I like their new Disney princess, that they're kind of cooler, and you want to be them, as opposed to, I didn't like the era before you, where you were just mentioning, I didn't like before Belle and Ariel. It wasn't that great.
It's interesting because Alice and I, we are kind of going through and we're buying different Disney movies and animated movies. And we just watched like Oliver Company, which got bashed by the critics, but I loved it as a kid.
It is a fantastic film even now.
And so we watched that. And then Margot, she bought The Frozen and we watched that. And you can definitely see a transition with the films, like how film. Animation has definitely come a long way, but then you have like you have the Little Mermaids, the Little Mermaids. There's only one Little Mermaid. Little Mermaid.
No, there's two of them.
You have the Little Mermaid, and then you have like Beauty and the Beast, which kind of like brought Disney back to the big budget animated films. But then you have Frozen, which kind of changes that dynamic. And then most recently, I saw Moana, and just from Oliver Company to Moana. Or even from Frozen to Moana, the animation has evolved amazingly.
Well, and there's a film in between with an awesome female in between. And I think it's Judy Hopps from Zootopia. Like, she was kind of the coolest ass kicker. I mean, she may not be a princess, but I'm going to pick Judy Hopps to do something before I pick Moana. Like, cool, Moana can possess water like Mira from DC. But Judy Hopps is figuring out cases. Like, I like her.
I really like Zootopia. Zootopia was, I keep telling people, it was a True Detective season 2 that we deserved.
It is. It had the drama. It had the humor. It's so funny. The same year, like, that was the better film. And hey, I would rather watch Zootopia than whatever season 2 of True Detective was. God, how do they mess that up so bad?
And then you mentioned animation, but like, I loved Avatar: The Last Airbender. And there's some pretty strong female leads.
Zoe Saldana, you know, she is the, you know, she's the main character of that film. And even, you know, going back, we just mentioned her before, Michelle Rodriguez is a main character in that film as well. And Zoe Saldana is another actress. She was in Columbia as well, I think. You know, she's in the Star Trek films as Uhura. She's a cool chick in the aspect of these films. And she's kind of doing what Scarlett Johansson's doing right now.
I like where you're going, but I was talking about the animated TV show on Nickelodeon when it was trying to go that route.
I think you would go more than if you want to do that. What was The Legend of Korra? That was the really cool, badass chick that was...
Okay, focus here. Avatar The Last Airbender is the original, and then Korra is the sequel, and Toph, the earthbender that was blind, is one of the most badass female chicks that I've ever seen on a cartoon that is like made for kids in like a half an hour special.
I will say, you know what?
I'm triggered.
No, no, not to deny that. I just, you know, I looked at the other females in Avatar The Last Airbender, and I don't love them, but I forgot Toph is legit the best bender in that entire franchise until Korra. Like, yeah, no, no, I'm not triggered. I can't believe you know that. Like, I'm more triggered that you know this, and I'm so proud of you. A little tear to my eye.
You know I'm a nerd, right?
Yeah, but you know, you do label yourself a Gen Xer. That's a millennial TV show. I'm surprised you caught on to it.
Are you surprised they caught on to it?
I just had to poke you there. See,
you know the Gen
there.
Xers made Nickelodeon, right?
I know. I got to reap all your awesome benefits of I had to shit through shitty Doug, which I hate Doug, and then I got to have things like Avatar: The Last Airbender. So thank you, Gen Xers.
Doug was awesome, man. Porkchop the dog. Rugrats.
Quail Man was cooler. Quail Man, if Quail Man got a spinoff from Doug, I would have watched that.
I feel like you need to be Quail Man for Halloween this year.
I should be. Either that or Pooh Bear. I'm already shaped like him.
That has nothing to do with female-led superheroes.
Yeah, there is not one awesome female in Winnie the Pooh. Is there even a woman in that franchise? No, sexist.
The rabbit.
Oh, yeah, but she's a mom.
No, is she a rabbit? No, no, it's the kangaroo.
Yeah, the rabbit is that.
Is the crotchety old man.
That weird, like, antsy dude.
I didn't really realize that I was going to talk about Winnie the Pooh today.
No, you weren't expecting that. But once again, welcome to the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast, where Winnie the Pooh will come up somehow.
Oh, man. Is there any? I feel like Linda Hamilton, we didn't really talk about her that much.
You know, you said enough about Linda Hamilton. I like her work. I think T2 is kind of the only thing. I really don't like her. I don't like her character in the first Terminator. I think she's kind of almost damsel in distress-y, where T2, she's awesome. And, like, it's a great character evolution. But to me, she's kind of the one movie. Though Beauty and the Beast, the TV show, she was pretty awesome in that.
Was she Belle?
She was like, it wasn't.
A Belle-ish?
She was a Belle-ish, and Ron Perlman was the Beast.
That was Ron Perlman?
Yeah, that crazy cat man is Ron Perlman. Like,
that's crazy.
He's been preparing for Hellboy since the beginning.
I did not know that. Because I remember, like, my older cousin watching that show all the time on CBS, and I was like, what is this stupid-ass shit modern-day fairy tale bullcrap?
My mother loved it. Like, if you look at my review for Beauty and the Beast, the About Last Night, I have the case for that in the background. Like, yeah, it's a part of my life, unfortunately.
Is there anybody we left out?
I think we talked about all the ones. Like, I wanted to talk about Zoe Bell, who was an awesome. She was the stunt woman for Uma Thurman in Kill Bill. She was also in Death Proof. She's in that awesome scene, if you've ever seen Death Proof, where she's on the hood of the car, and in that one scene, she has to get from the hood inside the car as they're speeding. Her work as a stunt woman and as an actress, and she led her own film named Raise, which is like a female fight club. I love Zoe Bell. She's one that I want to give some credit to, because she's a powerful force in the female industry.
She is, and like, just going through, she has 24 films where she was a stunt person. I mean, not counting all the 66 episodes of Xena Warrior Princess. So, I mean, she's badass, like, in the real form.
Yeah, she's badass in the real form. And then, you know, she actually plays herself in Death Proof, the Tarantino Grindhouse film. So I think that's what's interesting, is getting to see her play a stunt woman and be kind of cocky and show off a little bit. And that's what she gets to do in films. And I'm glad Tarantino gave her credit. He's one, you know, who appreciates females. And he saw her work on Kill Bill and was like, you deserve this. Like, you deserve this shout out.
Who is she in Lost? It says Regina, but I don't know who Regina is.
I think she had like a quick maybe couple episode arc on Lost, but she's one of those actresses, once you see her, you're like, oh, yeah, I've seen her and stuff.
No, I know who she is, but I like Lost was so big and so epic, and it looks like she had one episode and then she was the voice afterwards. Oh,
maybe,
man.
Something with Dharma.
Yeah, damn fucking Dharma fucking up shit. She has one film called Bitch Slap that I feel like I'm going to have to watch.
That sounds awesome. Like, when they were kind of talking about a female Expendables, she was the one who I wanted to lead the franchise. Like, I let's close that out with this. Let's do four women. Let's cast a female Expendables. Who would you have?
Michelle Pfeiffer would have to be the Sylvester Stallone character.
Okay. Claps to you. I was going with like a Angelina Jolie or Sigourney Weaver, but I like your Michelle Pfeiffer.
All right, so you pick. You get number two. You get the number two pick.
I would go for a like a Mila Jovovich. I think she's like right under, like, she's kind of that seasoned pro, but she's not on that legendary status. I think, yeah, Mila. I'm putting Mila in the movie.
I don't know if she'd do it yet, but I would love to see like Mila versus Scarlett Johansson. Jason Statham and Stallone yapping back and forth, but there's always like a battle between them. But like Mila and Scarlett Johansson, I'd like to see them battle it out.
But with Zobel playing both of them,
on Friends level, battling it out.
No, yeah, and I think there's so many awesome women. I think there's rumors of a female Expendables. That's why I'm a little excited about the Ocean's 8 film. I think maybe that's going to be kind of a film that we, if we redo this subject in a year, 2 years, or whatever, we can add that, I hope, into it, because that could be it.
Oh, you know who I'd want as the wild card is the crazy girl from Scream Queens,
Emma Roberts.
Emma Roberts.
Yes. Did you ever see Scream 4?
Scream 4. No.
She plays the Neve Campbell cousin. And she does this turn as a villain in the film. And it's like the moment.
Thanks for ruining the film.
Oh, sorry that you did not see this movie that came out in 2009. I'm sorry for spoiling an 8-year-old film of a franchise no one cares about. But no, she's someone that, like, once you mentioned her, I forgot how bitchy she was on American Horror Story a couple seasons. I like her a lot. Yeah, she would be my wild card, like, bitch kind of sassy person. But you find out she's like knife expert or something.
Yeah, and she beat her lobster boy to death.
I forgot she actually beat Evan Peters in real life. Like, when I saw that case, I was like, oh, shit, domestic violence. What did he do? And I was just like, I lied. What did Emma Roberts do? Like, Julia is very proud of her.
Did Julia do any action? I feel like she did a lot of running, but I don't know if she did any action.
She was running away as a bride. She was always a pretty woman, but did she do an action film? I don't think so. I don't remember Julia Roberts' turn as, like, Erin Brockovich is maybe the most action she got.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if she...
I think she's in the Ocean films, which would count, but, like,
oh, yeah.
She didn't really play with the role that she could have as an action female.
I know that she's... I've seen her punch people.
I'm trying to think of Julia Roberts punching somebody. Like, I don't see it. Like,
I think in like Erin Brockovich, she might have punched somebody. I think that's the whole point of the character. Step-mom.
She does play strong females. Like Julia Roberts is awesome for playing strong women in films, but I don't think a strong action woman.
Mary Riley. She was Tinkerbell and Hook. Did Hook? Sleeping with the Enemy. Oh, Flatliners. Nope, I don't think she punched anybody there.
I love Sleeping with the Enemy, by the way. Like, that movie made me not want to date. I saw that really young, and I was just like, nope. Like, if someone like I'm dating turns the cans forward in the pantry, and I'm like, nope, bye. You're not beating me today. That was your reference that you're like, shit, EJ, you know way more about Sleeping with the Enemy than you should.
I don't think that Julia Roberts has done any. She did one movie, Conspiracy Theory, with Mel Gibson. She did The Mexican.
You know, which is very odd for Julia Roberts. She is in the same era as a Michelle Pfeiffer or Sharon Stone, and she saw them go down that route. And I wonder if she didn't want to do it and did not see the financial gain. But a lot of women from her era, even like Sigourney Weaver, moved to action and kind of became action names, and she said, no, that's not for me.
I think she always like was going for Oscars. Like, she was always like, I want my Oscar.
And I felt that way about Emily Blunt for a while, and then she did Edge of Tomorrow, and that's when I was just like, oh, Emily Blunt, there's something here. And then she was in Girl on a Train, and I'm like, I love you, you're a drunk hot mess, I want to see more of you.
And that could be a potential action star.
Yeah, if she, because supposedly she's coming back for the sequel of Edge of Tomorrow. Don't know how. Spoiler alert for the end of that movie. It's going to be odd. But no, I can't wait for like.
So how many movies did you ruin already for me today?
Oh, come on, Matt. You need to start seeing more movies quicker.
I saw Edge of Tomorrow.
I was going to say, out of anyone, you would have loved Edge of Tomorrow.
No, Edge of Tomorrow was pretty awesome. We were talking about Julia Roberts, and then we brought Emily Blunt up. There was another person that was like flirting a little sparkle in my brain of action hero, and then I lost it.
You know what we can compare it to, because I want to see her in an action film, is more like, I think Amy Adams is going to go the Julia Roberts route, where she's always going to be around an action movie, but until Lois Lane punches somebody, I don't see her.
Yeah, because like Arrival had no action, but was all
like, she's
Oscar.
In great films, but it's like, come on, like.
Trying to think, who's like the next? That's the thing, is like, I feel like people like.
You know, to tie it back, Gal Gadot. She was just in Keeping Up with the Joneses last year as like a spy. She's Wonder Woman. If she can kind of land another good action film and it be a good film, she could definitely be up there. And, she, you know, she's one that is so striking and so beautiful, but has a presence of action that it's kind of, I believe it, like as thin as she is and as like beautiful. And I'm like, you look like you can kick ass, though. And I like that about her. And I hope Gal Gadot or even, like you said, Emily Blunt, they could be the future.
And then we had, well, let's turn it back to Gal Gadot or Gadot, waiting for Gadot.
It's one of those. It's Gadot. We'll just say it. She's not going to yell at us. She's not listening.
We could say Gail.
Yeah, Gail. Oh, we're on a first. Just Gail.
Well, no, we have two Wonder Womans this year. We have Wonder Woman, then we have Justice League. So we're going to get a 1-2 punch of Wonder Woman. And this is going to be pretty intense.
And her first round fight in Batman v Superman, you know, we got a great introduction of her. And I think that's when, you know, if anyone hates that film, I think everyone still is just like, she was kind of cool, though. And I think that's her introduction. I think, like you said, this year is her 1-2 punch of just being that action star. Yeah, I think you definitely have a point there. I forgot she is in 2 this year.
Yeah, you're going to get 2 Wonder Woman. Like, this is going to be pretty exciting. And also, we got to give DC credit where credit is due. They're doing something that Marvel has yet to do.
You know, they've done it, you know, as shitty as it was in the 80s, they did Supergirl and they did Catwoman. I think Marvel has done maybe Elektra, but no, even the DC is, they're quicker on it. And I appreciate that, but it's still crazy that it took 75 years to get a Wonder Woman movie. Like, that blows my mind. But as we talked about, not every female-led movie has been so great or put people's faith into it that I'm glad it's happening now, and I'm glad Patty Jenkins is directing. I'm glad it happened the way it did, because this film looks amazing.
I'm hoping it looks amazing. But it is an interesting. This conversation is interesting because of like you have all the '80s action heroes and the '90s guys, and then like you have the Bourne Identity action stuff going on there in the aughts, and then now you have the Fast and Furious franchise with all that chaos and the Expendables, which is the old guys, but you still don't have that, like, it's you have like a little sprinkling here and there of a female action hero going through and kicking ass. But I do think that there's more and more coming out now. I think Hollywood, as much as we give it shit for like lack of originality, Atomic Blonde is an original film that we need to give them credit for.
Oh, absolutely. And like you said, you know, going through 80s, 90s, you know, early 2000s, and now I think Tom Cruise is the only on the male side that's been consistent. And there hasn't been a female that has been as consistent. Maybe Sigourney Weaver, because I know she's in Defenders.
Avatar. She was in Avatar.
Absolutely. So, you know, Sigourney Weaver is kind of the only one like trying to keep it alive. So credit where credit's due. And like you said, credit to Atomic Blonde this year. And yes, Wonder Woman is not an original property, but credit to Hollywood for finally getting that onto the screen. You know, even with Ghost in the Shell, they are trying. There's just something on the audience side that isn't connecting. And I'm not going to fault Hollywood for this one for once. It is kind of an audience issue that some of these movies aren't striking as they should.
Well, dudes. Go see action movies.
You know, it's crazy because Wonder Woman, maybe a couple of days ago, is projected to make 60 to 75 million the first weekend. Not bad. It's on level with Ant-Man and I think the first Thor film. So it's not horrible, but that's low compared to what the DCEU was just debuting at with Batman v Superman and even Suicide Squad that had to deal with post-Batman v Superman. still did really well. So why is Wonder Woman projected so low? That's where I'm like, there's an issue here, and it still blows my mind.
Dudes,
Ian, but maybe Wonder Woman, I think, is the perfect person to do it. Is like the most female hating dude still wants to see Wonder Woman kick ass, even if it's just like she's hot and you can kind of see up her skirt for 2 seconds. Something about Wonder Woman gets everybody, and I think she could break the curse.
Do you think they're pushing the Game of Thrones angle to bring in Game of Thrones fans?
Which smartly they should. That I saw one of the recent trailers and I was just like, ooh, Themyscira is giving me some King's Landing vibes. I like this, and I think it's a good comparison. And Game of Thrones is kicking ass with females in action. If we were going to talk about TV, Game of Thrones has it. Like, they are on every level of a female in action. Game of Thrones is awesome, and I'm glad Wonder Woman and Patty Jenkins looked at it and was like, yeah, you guys are doing it right. So yeah.
Hi, EJ. Our next podcast, we are actually going to review Wonder Woman.
I feel like I've waited for this, not 75 years, but as long as I've been alive. I can't wait to talk about it. Living in a post-Wonder Woman world, I'm excited for.
Hi, EJ. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Hey, Matt, we survived another episode. Oh, no!
Once again, there are several ways to continue the conversation after the show. Follow us on Twitter at monkeys_robots. You can look at all our silly photos on Instagram at monkeysfightingrobots. You can follow me on Twitter at Matthew Sardo. My co-host, EJ, is also on Twitter at EJ Christ with a K. The biggest compliment we receive is when the subscriber number goes up on Blog Talk Radio. If you have a chance, we would greatly appreciate a review of our show on iTunes. As always, the best way to listen to the show is on our website, monkeysfightingrobots.com.
Okay, Lunchbox, let's try this again.
There are so many people that made the two... Oh, fuck.
That's the best thing you've ever said on the podcast.
There are so many people that made the 123rd episode of Monkeys Fighting Robots a success. Special shout out to my co-host, EJ Marino.
Special shout out to you. This was such a fun episode to talk about awesome women in Hollywood.
Thank you, sir. Jeff Shade is creator of our amazing intros and outros. Jessica Wynn designed the Monkeys Fighting Robots logo. Are you a monkey or are you a robot? The staff at Visual Realm built our website and keeps us up and running. To all my friends, family, and interweb, thank you very much for your support. I'm Matt Sardo, and this is Monkeys Fighting Robots.